And they crossed the street, and sure enough, he reached down into a bush, and there was a cricket. And then to kind of heighten the effect of what he was, the Native American was saying, he picked some coins out of his pocket, threw them up in the air, and they crashed on the ground and sprinkled all around. And people began to look. And he turned to his friend, his American friend, and he said, "It depends what you're listening for."
Right.
There was immediate, the cricket didn't draw any attention, but the coins drew attention. What I want to say to you for the next two weeks is, it depends what we're looking for. And we want to be good listeners, and so I've invited, we're reviewing here with the Apostle Paul, this marvelous matter of salvation. So I've asked Bridget Curtis to come and take 5 minutes and share with us how she came to faith in Christ. And let's put our ears on. You remember that old CB expression, put your ears on? Okay, Bridget, please. Thank you for the lovely, wow, nourishment. I think she ought to do this every week for us. I make a motion, she's in charge. You want to come up here?
She does most Wednesdays.
She does it Wednesday, maybe we'll do it Sunday too, because she's really in the groove, you know.
I wouldn't mind doing it every week.
We would be delighted
might
too.
Have
but
something to say.
Yeah,
about
that's right.
That, but
thank
anyways,
you,
just after Keener asked me to come and share today, this big before, but I guess that's just the Lord working and getting me out of my comfort zone. I grew up in what I thought, and some people may consider a Christian home. Now that I look back at it, probably wasn't a Christian home. I grew up Catholic, going to church every single Sunday, rain or shine. You know, the only way you didn't go to church is if you were dead or in the hospital. You went to holy days. You just did everything that you were supposed to do. And that was going to get me to heaven, as I was taught. And when I met my husband when I was 17, he went to a different church. I was like, "Ooh, you're not Catholic. Can I come to your church with you?" Well, my father said, "Fine, you can go to church with him, but you'll still go to church with us." So I would get up in the morning and go to Mass, and then come home and get dressed for church, and go to church with Paul. And I just knew that something was different there. They actually were reading from their Bible. Everyone had a Bible. And it's like, you actually carry that thing around? And so going to church with him just stirred something in me. And that was the Holy Spirit working now that I look back. And then we decided to get married, and we were going through marriage counseling. And Pastor said to me during one of those sessions, "So, tell me, when did you accept Christ as your Savior?" And I looked at him, and I'm like, "What are you talking about? Accept Christ as my Savior?" Well, yeah, he's there. And he says, "No, when was it personal for you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I know that, you know, Jesus came to save the world and to pay for our sins or whatever, but it was never personal for me." And that night, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And since then, it's not living for me, it's living for God. And just turning, and like I told Pastor Keener, it wasn't turning from wicked ways, I mean, which it was, but I didn't see myself as a wicked person, and I didn't do all kinds of bad things, only because I had a very, 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 very strict father who, if I did anything, I probably would shake in my boots and know that I would be killed if I did anything bad. But, well, very strict father. But anyways, it's just since that time growing in the Lord. And I had a couple analogies that I thought of in the last couple days. One of them just came to me yesterday. Our daughter Sammy was working on an electrical circuit that she had taken an electrical class in our homeschooling co-op, and she was trying to show me how to make this little light bulb light up. And you had to follow the right path. You had to have it all connected well, and it connected the right way, and if you followed that path, you know, the light bulb would light up. Well, it wasn't working. And she said, I said, well, why don't you let me help you? And I can show you. Well, I said, I can't show you, but your dad can show you. Your dad can show you how to get it all going the right way and following the right path. Because that's what they talk about, is the path of the current. And she said, no, I can do it. And I thought, boy, isn't that us in life? I can do it. I don't need your help. And I thought, just accepting the Father's help and accepting that gift of the help. And I thought, you know what? Accept that help. And she did. She went downstairs to him, and he showed her the way. And I thought, wow, isn't that us in life?
Amen.
And another analogy I just had, and I hope not to have any of you who are very deep theologians, you know, criticize my or take offense to my analogy.
We're ready, go.
To my analogy. Another thing that crossed my mind this morning was when I grew up, you know, you had to do the right thing for fear of getting in trouble. You didn't do the right thing to have a good relationship with your parents. I did the right thing to have, you know, for fear of not getting in trouble. And I kind of related that to salvation and accepting that gift. Do we accept that gift for the ticket to heaven, to get to heaven? Or do we accept that gift so that we don't go to hell? And I thought, you know what? We can't do it. We can't say that we are saved or accept that gift of salvation just so that we don't go to hell. We have to accept that for that relationship with Christ.
Amen.
So that's all I have to share.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful, Bridget. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, she said a number of good things. Two stuck in my mind that I want to just remind you of. As you're opening your Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. We're wrapping up the book of Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, hopefully, or no, next week. One was, she said, she didn't see herself as a wicked person. We become more aware of ourselves and our sinfulness as life moves along, and we do become aware that we are wicked people, that we have wicked, selfish, greedy, demanding, resentful natures. I mean, that just comes out of us. It's just right there. It's kind of the default setting of humanity. We slowly become more aware of what we are and what we're not in life. And you don't get it all the first 10 minutes you're saved, but, you know, that awareness grows. And so that thought. And then the matter of, she said, I look back on it as the Holy Spirit was helping me to see things, you know. That's what Paul's talking about.
Amen.
You set the table for chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Let's read. For this reason, Ephesians 1, 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Well, you see the suggested outline here on the front page, and I hope that you'll bring this copy with you. I know that there are some staple copies, and I have some unstaple copies if you like the pages, so you don't have to you know, you can turn them fully and so forth, so a little variety there, but please bring this with you next Sunday. Work on through it, and we'll finish it, Lord willing, next Sunday, all right? You see the outline there, and it's been said that God has a simple way of finding out what we believe. He listens to our prayers. In other words, is there an appetite there? Is there a hunger there?
Amen.
Is there a desire there for something beyond what we've personally experienced? Verses 15 to 23 are a single sentence in the Greek text, 202 words in which Paul works into his prayer what he has praised God for in verses 3 to 14. So he builds his prayer. He builds his prayer on what he has just said. Paul's petition for the continuing work of God in his readers grows out of his thanks for what God has already accomplished in their lives. For this reason, what reason? For the reason of all that Paul's been saying in the first 14 verses. The way God has worked motivates both Paul's praise and his intercession. The purpose of the prayer is that people will know their lives, in their lives, the benefits mentioned in the doxology. Verses 3 to 14, Paul intercedes with those who possess the treasured gospel. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is Paul's way of talking about Jesus Christ as the object of our faith. You know, what we have our faith in is really critical, isn't it?
That's right.
If I think I can fly, I'm probably going to be beat by the law of gravity, you know. And if I go to the medicine cabinet at 2 in the morning and try to get an aspirin for my wife, and it turns out to be poison, my sincerity won't have counted for much. Charlie Brown said, "Yeah, we lost the game, 72-0, and I was so sincere." Sincerity is not so much the issue. The issue is, what is our faith posited in? What are we trusting? David, you had faith in that chair you sat down. You're confident it'll hold you up? You haven't sat down all the way on the floor too many times? You sat in a chair like that?
Right.
Well, you had faith in the chair. Okay. Well, that's faith in an object. What do we have faith in? Do we have faith in our own abilities? Well, God's given us some gifting and so forth, so there's a legitimate aspect to having confidence in what He's already given us and we're aware of. The Bible tells us to look at our gifts and be honest about evaluating what we are, what we're not. But ultimately, it's trusting in Christ, isn't it? Okay. Verse 15, and your love. I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love. Faith in Christ results in love for others and for other saints.
That's right.
Paul preached in Ephesus about three years. But that was about 4 years prior to the date of our text, and Paul's now in prison. But he's heard reports, and he's gotten letters, and he's had messengers come to him who've given a report about some of the people in the Ephesian church and other churches in what today is Turkey, Asia Minor. And so he's just glowing inside because of his affection for these people and his relationship. Many had never met him, but he had received some letters. He's grateful for them. He praises the Lord for them. He's pleased about them. He's joyful for them. He has heard that they possess these two cardinal Christian virtues: faith, genuine indicators of spiritual integrity, faith toward God, and love for Christ. Okay? The emotional tone of verses 15 and 16 show how encouraged Paul was by the news about others who had come to faith in Christ. It also shows the depth of his affection for them. They prompted him to love God more. If you love God, you'll love others who love God. A recommendation.
Right.
Let yourself go crazy about those who got baptized last week.
Oh, wasn't that beautiful?
I heard about it. I was not there. Right after this session last week, a gentleman I met him in the hall, and he's never really talked to me about anything in his life. But for about 25 minutes, I mean, it just opened up, and it was just such a compliment that he would trust me with his inner thoughts. And so I got to hear the message, but I didn't hear the baptisms. I understand it was awesome, right?
Oh, yeah.
Enter into those things. That's what Paul's doing here. He's entering into the faith and the love of the believers he's heard about in the city of Ephesus, okay? Illustration, Ron Hominick in Hawaii. This was interesting to me. This is a friend of ours in the mission and in action. And he had an experience. He was very seriously injured. And he was on vacation some weeks later in Hawaii. And the first morning after arrival, I ventured out for a walk. I saw a sign on the road that seemed to invite, be written just for me. It said, Christian's Men's Breakfast. Everyone welcome. Never wanted to turn down a free cup of coffee. I entered a modest meeting place. Introductions were being made, and breakfast had not yet started. So I participated, and with my somewhat broken speech, the injury he had affected his speech, I introduced myself to one gentleman. When I gave my name and where I was from, his jaw dropped open. You're who? Thinking that he didn't understand me, because his speech, Ron Hominick's speech, is kind of garbled as a result of his injury, I repeated what I said, this time a little slower and a little more clearly. Well, bless the Lord, he exclaimed. I'm from Saskatchewan, and our church has been praying for you and your physical recovery. So here was an injury that took place, a professional hockey player that had traveled the news in the area up there in Canada, Moose Jaw, Red Deer, and you know the cities up that way. And he's in Hawaii, and he hears about this fraternity, people praying for him, and excited that this, in the providence of God, he went to this breakfast, and there was this guy who knew his name. Well, his injury was probably pretty well published and known, and so here were Christians praying for this man who also hockey player is a Christian. And that's what Paul's doing. He's happy about what he hears, and he's rejoicing in it. What's that?
Hockey player, hard to believe.
well, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Christian lawyers.
yeah. I'm trying to think of something cute to say right now, but it's not coming. I will say this, that the Christian was very nominal until he got seriously ill, and then the hockey diminished and the Christian came on. So he learned a lot through what happened to him. As life goes along, we get super glued to some believers.
Amen.
I have two precious friends in this church that I was not attracted to. There was something, you know, between us. And now I look back and I think, wow, these guys are awesome men. What a privilege that God changes some of those things, you see. I feel a kinship with them, and they're tight. They're just like white on snow. These two guys and I are really tight. Well, love is given to the basic needs of people, desiring God's grace upon them and assisting them thereto. We need a larger and broader sense of the movement of God. Our hearts need to go out to many people. I know we can't do everything, but Paul invested prayer in people he did not know. He never met. Do you pray for people you've never met? There's a lot of prayer requests, and Tony, thank you so much for writing these things down. I see many of us are getting lazy. We don't write them down. And I had a thought, you know, man, I'm not even writing this down. These people think I don't pray careful about their prayer requests. But then I realized I'm just being lazy. See, you guys do such a good job giving us those requests. We do need to pray for those things. We need to ask God for the things that people mention.
Amen.
That is a very important part of this class time. And by the way, I just want to be on record as saying, I don't mind taking 10 or 15 minutes to pray, because that praying time, when you bring your request, your heart's in your hand, you know. That's what's important to you. And if we don't connect with people about what's in their hands, we don't connect with them.
Amen.
And I think that's critical time. We can sit and listen to the word coming to us one way from the pulpit on Sunday morning. But this is where we make friends. Mm-hmm. We enter into each other's lives. And so that praying time is important. I know we can't do everything, but Paul invested prayer in people he did not know. Involvement with others keeps us from being myopic, keeps us from being Lone Ranger types.
Love people. Jesus died for people, not so I can have the best boat in the church or a dandelion free lawn, you know?
That's good.
Loneliness, a sense of being too small for the task, and pride all have a difficult time surviving when a believer is involved with others in the body of Christ. To love another person means that I give to his basic needs, his or her basic needs, and hold an attitude toward him, her, that is like our Lord's attitude toward that person. We know we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren.
That's right.
1 John 3:14. And this quote from John MacArthur struck me. It is important, and by the way, almost very little in this paper. What I'm saying kind of spontaneously is Keith Kaner, but what I've written here is almost none of it for me, okay? a guy named Klein Snodgrass, and a guy who teaches at a seminary in Chicago, written a wonderful book on Ephesians, and then John MacArthur. Those two books are basically, even when I don't have quote marks, basically this is from them, okay? Let's see, where am I? Oh, yeah. It is important as it is, sound doctrine is no substitute for love. Without love, the basic doctrines like the best doctrine is like a noisy gong, noisy gong, and a clanging cymbal. By the way, I misspelled prayer, I think, on the first sheet. 1 Corinthians 13:1, page 40, this is a quote. The New Testament defines love as an attitude of selfless sacrifice that results in generous acts of kindness toward others. After washing the disciples' feet, our Lord said, in effect. Yeah, there's another error. In effect, not if effect. We're going to get this right here. I have set you an example of how you are to love each other. John 13:34. Also see 1 John 3:16-18. Faith and love must be kept balanced. Monks and hermits and ascetics sought to keep their faith pure by being separated, away from the world. But such isolation means they do not reach out to people. Sometimes such people can become heresy hunters, hypercritical, and seem to be eager to tear down what's wrong, but doing little to build up what's good. Okay, verse 15. Anything else on 15 that you want to comment on before we move along? Yes?
I guess I just want to share, it struck me as you were talking about how important prayer was. The deciding factor for us to come to this class was based on a time that we visited, and Dave Sarakin was stepping in and doing the prayer request that morning. And I have to tell you, it was so moving to me that there wasn't a single prayer request unmentioned that was mentioned. And the time was taken, and you were actually teaching that morning. And somehow, in God's beautiful plan, you were able to get through everything. Despite the fact that we prayed a long time. And I guess I just want to share that really was a draw for me, mm-hmm. because prayer is so important to come to this class, and I know Mike too. So.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Just made everything so authentic.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. We have no beauty, do we? We have no knowledge. We have no skill. We have nothing. The beauty in our lives is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We are not beautiful people.
That's right.
What's so funny?
No, it's not just you. I'm thinking about myself. I sure
He's agreeing with you.
That's right.
What'd she say?
Never mind. You missed it. She said, you're agreeing with
me. Amen.
Very seriously, the beauty and end of our lives is not us. Jesus helps us. And slowly he gives us divine beauty treatments. And we become more like him in our reactions, in our values, in what's important to us, in how we live, how we use our time, how we invest our energy, how we use our health, how we use our money.
Hey, I got to say something real quick. You know, you see these, see also. And very rarely I look it up. Well, I went to 1 John 5:1. This is good. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ had been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of God.
Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you. I do encourage you to work through this, and we'll continue to work through it. So let's thank you. Verse 16. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. To pray is to remember who owns the house. It's to remember that God's in charge. God does. If Paul did not stop, does that mean he prayed 24/7? I've thought about that. You know, you have too. He prayed without ceasing. Well, man, how did he do that? He's really spiritual. I'm so subpar. What does that mean? I suggest to you, as it was suggested to me through my reading this week, that very likely Paul, as a Jewish person of Jewish orientation, that normally Jewish people practice prayer 3 times a day. You remember that Daniel prayed 3 times a day, open the windows, face toward Jerusalem, and you pray. Well, very likely, if Paul was thinking the sense of 3 times a day, I remember you, which is really wonderful. That's very, very wonderful praying, okay? I think that's probably what it means. It's physically impossible, is it not, to literally pray without ceasing. Would you give me that? Yes, Mark?
It was explained to me, and I thought by John MacArthur, that
that you have a heart and mind ready for prayer at any given moment. You know, you're walked, you're equipped for prayer all through the day.
Thank you.
Kind of like a default setting.
Yeah.
If you're walking in the Spirit and loving one another, it's easy to come back to praying after you're interrupted and come back to praying and then do what you got to do and come back to praying and keep saying, Lord, keep me praying. You know, it's a conscious effort to keep praying by all means, because Satan hates it, the flesh hates it, the world hates it. So you got to fight to do it. You got to fight hard. If you're not fighting hard, it won't happen.
Thank you.
And you're not limited to the specific norm of in your prayer closet at a special time only then. I mean, you can pray throughout the day, be it driving in this traffic with the construction, or, you know, when you hear something in class shared, or
standing in the bank line.
I mean, it doesn't have to be with your eyes shut.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Terry? I mean, Eric, excuse me?
For me, it's that ongoing conversation throughout the day with God.
Amen.
Yeah. When the Spirit leads, put someone on my mind, that's the prayer.
Evelyn Heiss, you'll meet her when you get... Excuse me, are you done? I'm sorry. Evelyn Heiss, you'll meet her when you get to heaven. Lovely lady. She said, well, turn thought into prayer. I thought, hey, turn thought into prayer. Just, right. You're thinking something, well, just address it, Evelyn.
Sometimes a thought comes from the past. Don't have any idea where it come from. I mean, I might have been 9 years old, or I might have been 29 years old. And where did this come from? And I say, well, Lord, I guess I'm going to pray for this person. And I don't know what else would bring that to my mind. I mean, I'm not doing anything that would bring it to my mind that I'm aware of. You know, sometimes an odor, a smell, a sight, a song. But I'm busy burning wire welding, and this thought comes to my mind. It's like, Lord, where'd that come from? Okay, I'll pray for him.
Entering into the life of God and how he leads us. Yes?
I know we're kind of camping out on this, but I think
that's fine.
Really great. There was a young man a few years ago that was having trouble paying for his college, so he thought he would raise money by doing by bicycling across Canada. And he wasn't very successful, and he found himself out late at night on a highway in the middle of Saskatchewan, and he had like $12 he had raised that he had in his pocket, and he's bicycling along, and the rhythm of these bikes going, stupid idea. And there's a certain rhythm in our lives, and we can find ourselves saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And there's just a spirit of gratitude that can be part of the rhythm of our lives. And we don't have to get real weird about prayer, breath prayers, and things like that, but there's a rhythm, and if we could allow, I mean, and this is the other side of the coin of struggling for it, is allowing the rhythm of our life to sort of map to and take on the rhythm of our sense of prayer and our sense of gratitude.
Well said. Yes. Thank you.
I used to wonder about that as well, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, so I didn't read the Bible, and I found that the more I came to know the Lord through his word, the more excited I was about being with that person, and that it was, I wanted to more be with the joy and think about him and his characteristics and talk to him. That's how I came to understand that you could pray without ceasing, because that's where your mind is. You're always thinking about him because he's so cool. And
amen.
Cool stuff in his word and in how he operates in your life, but you just want to think about him.
Amen.
Yes. I haven't talked a lot about prayer. Probably beating it to death, right? But
no,
well, we
please.
Beat it to death. But a few years ago at our old church, I went to a ladies' Bible study, and they were talking about prayer. And I always thought I did okay. I mean, I do my thing in the morning real quick, and at night I say my little 3-minute thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she said to challenge yourself to try setting your like microwave timer or kitchen timer, try 5 minutes. And at the time, you might think 5 minutes isn't a lot, but when you're not used to praying a lot, 5 minutes seems like a long time. And then she, I said, but I have a problem. I think I have ADD. Other stuff happens, and I go like never, never land. She says, start praying out loud. Mm-hmm. And I started practicing that, and at first it feels really kind of silly. And now that's how I totally pray, as I pray out loud. And I pray out loud in the car. I prayed with him on the phone before. And if you want to be closer to your family or closer to your kids,
yes,
really start praying for them. And something my third grade teacher taught me, and I still practice today, I told her about this girl at school I didn't like. She was mean to me. And she said, well, Karen, you need to pray for her. And I said, but I don't want to. I don't like her. I don't like her. She's mean to me. She picks on me. She calls me hillbilly. I don't like her. And she says, well, you just need to pray for her. Her name was Miss Carney. I still remember her name. And you start praying for people. And you, I even worked that into my professional life, where I had this individual drove me bananas. And I started praying for her, that God would either change her heart or me. Well, God changed the situation. She got a transfer. I let her go on a specialist. I felt kind of guilty because they said there's a special assignment. I'm like, oh, I'm going to send this girl there. And she would call me and thank me. I love her. I love her. And they ended up keeping her. It was a big promotion for her. She ended up higher up level than me. But I felt kind of guilty because it was like plus a reduction, you know. But that's my encouragement, people. If you're struggling with it, I just know for me, and I still struggle. I mean, we fail more than we succeed, don't we? And if you start praying out loud, you'll just see a big difference, I think. If you're anything like me and get distracted. And just pray for each other and pray together. You know, we pray together all the time. When we were first married, before we had children and everything, and that kind of goes by the wayside. Then you go back to it. And I think God allows you to have certain struggles in life to bring you to that point. Because don't we all pray more when stuff goes wrong, right? So my new thing this year is I'm trying to be thankful about everything.
Praise the Lord.
Thankful. I'm in traffic. Oh, well, thank goodness I have a job, and I don't have a job where I have to be there at a certain time. No big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, just try to look at the positive, no matter how bad it is. That's my encouragement. Just try to pray out loud.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, help us to know who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. Lord, we love you. Pray for the hour to follow, that it might be nourishing, we might be pleasing to you as we sing to you. We pray as the 11 o'clock hour, the 10:45 hour rolls around, as the sun moves from east to west, that in hundreds and hundreds of pulpits across America and across the world, the Lord Jesus being honored. Lord, we pray that that would be the case, that you would be loved and worshipped and enjoyed, and we might know the blessing of being your kids. In Jesus' name, we give thanks together. Amen.